19:30 UTC on Thursday, December 21st. And this is Zimbabwe Today. Good evening. Good evening. I'm Kudzanai Mutetwa.
And I'm Chidonjere on VOA Zimbabwe Today. Zimbabwe's President Emmerson Mnangagwa has met hundreds of Zimbabweans in South Africa, urging them to come back home to help him rebuild the country's ailing economy. Most of the Zimbabweans in the audience assured him their full backing. Thuso Kumalo reports from VOA from Pretoria.
Hundreds of Zimbabweans in South Africa flocked to the Zimbabwean embassy in Pretoria to listen to the president speak to them for the first time since his inauguration last month. President Emmerson Mnangagwa pleaded with the crowd, which included business owners, civil society, traditional leaders and ordinary Zimbabweans, to come back and invest in their motherland.
May I say, I am hopeful. My team is hopeful. There is no business as usual. Things have changed. It's a new era. If it is left 10, it is left 10. If it is right 10, it's right 10.
Mnangagwa says his government is in the process of revising some laws that had scared off investors, such as the indigenization program, which required that all businesses be majority owned by Zimbabweans. He adds that there are huge investment opportunities in areas such as mining, agriculture, rail infrastructure, road networks and service industries. Zimbabwean businesswoman Doriana Stole, chief executive officer of House of Havila, a fashion and design company, is upbeat after listening to President Mnangagwa's speech.
So excited that Zimbabwe is finally open for business. It was such a beautiful meeting here at the Zimbabwe Embassy, and I can't wait for all of us here, the Zimbabweans and everybody from the SADC region, to go in there and do lots of business. So I'm so excited.
Marshall Sankara, executive chairman of the Zimbabwe Business Forum in South Africa, says his organization will double its investment drive to attract more than 100 million in investment a year for Zimbabwe.
We really appreciate the president for his move to invite all the diasporians to invest back home. We are coming here to show solidarity with his initiative, and we are saying Zimbabwe shall include all of us also in the foreign land in terms of business also.
The Zimbabwe Embassy in South Africa organized the event during Mnangagwa's first official trip abroad as president. He is also meeting with South African President Jacob Zuma on this trip. Thuso Kumalo for VOA News, Pretoria.
A former Zimbabwean minister who served under the country's ousted leader of 37 years, Robert Mugabe, has been arraigned in court on charges of abusing his powers when he was in office. Frank Chikore has more details from Harare.
Zimbabwe's former Mines Minister Walter Chidakwa appeared before a Harare magistrate today facing charges of abuse of office. Magistrate Josephine Sunday freed the ex-minister, who also is the nephew of former President Robert Mugabe. Chidakwa's defense attorney, Sylvester Ashiti, tells VOA that his client was freed on bail and ordered to surrender his passport. He is accused of breaching the country's minerals law during his term of office.
Yes, I was brought to court by the Anti-Corruption Commission, firstly, on charges of abuse of public office or public duty. It should be in terms of section 174, if I still remember, of the code, in that when he was the then Minister of Mines and Mining Development, he dissolved and appointed corruptly the MMCZ board. The allegations are that Professor Gojiganga assumed office as the board and exercised the board's powers because he had been appointed by Honorable Chidakwa. And on that basis, they are saying that he abused his office. Well, he was ordered to reside at this place of residence. He was ordered to pay $300, not to interfere with witnesses, to surrender his diplomatic passport, and not to visit the MMCZ offices.
Chidakwa becomes the second minister brought before the court since Mugabe's ouster last month. Former Finance Minister Ignatius Chombo also has been arraigned on corruption charges. Zimbabwe's new president, Emmerson Mnangagwa, says his administration will leave no stone unturned in its quest to end corruption. However, Obed Gutu, a spokesman of the main opposition movement for Democratic Change Party, says Zimbabwe's new administration applies the law selectively.
We are not able to think that he is being fair, President Mnangagwa is being fair, because there are obviously very good reasons for alleging that Minister Obed Mpofu should be investigated for corruption, especially arising out of the shoddy dealings of the Marange Chiazwa diamond field or fields. That has not been done, and we have every reason to believe that he's being protected simply because he's maybe close to the president, or he's being seen as an ally, a political ally of the president. This is why we say that he's actually a dangerous precedent, because that is not the way in which corruption is going to be eradicated. If it is going to be eradicated purely on factional lines, it simply means that the president is not being entirely honest with us as Zimbabweans. We want the fight against corruption to be seen to be very fair, to be seen to be unbiased, and to be seen, as I've already said, to be impartial. But right now, we have every reason to believe that it's not impartial, and that it's actually specifically targeted against a particular faction of ZANU-PF. And that's serious cause for concern. Not only to us as the MDC, but I think to all, you know, Zimbabweans who are peace-loving. Because if you're perceived to be G40, it means that you can easily be targeted for arrest. But if you're perceived to be a member of the faction of the president, then you're safe and sound. And that's not what we want.
Independent political analyst Mike Tembo says that Mnangagwa is acting on the orders of the army, which acted to oust Mugabe and bring Mnangagwa to office.
It's clear, very clear, that this is the work of the military government. You remember, since the military took over, there's been an upsurge in the number of Generation 40 members who are being victimized by the Mnangagwa government. As you know, Mnangagwa is being controlled by the military. So they are making all efforts to deal with those ministers which were opposing Mnangagwa while he's in ZANU-PF under G40, and who were also working around former President Mugabe. So it's clear, it's not surprising, and I think we are going to see more being arrested, as the army said when they took over control of this government, that they will deal with criminals surrounding Mugabe. They were meaning those people are surrounding Mugabe. So it's not surprising.
It is not yet clear how many people from Mugabe's administration are under investigation for financial crimes. Frank Chikowore for VOA News, Harare.
Traditionally, the Christmas festive season in Zimbabwe has been a time for loved ones to travel and spend time with their families. But this year's events are giving a new twist to the season. Reporter Kudzai's Navashe looks into how Christmas will be for Zimbabweans.
This holiday season, Zimbabweans are looking back on an eventful year. From soldiering on in a cash crisis, registering to vote, and ousting the nonagenarian president of 37 years in power. Gift Ostalos is the spokesperson of Tajamuka, a citizen movement pressure group that staged protests during Mugabe's time in power.
In terms of our history and our culture, we celebrate this by connecting with the families, those abroad travel, those who are in the metropolitan provinces, travel to rural areas.
Despite the new political developments in the country, Ostalos thinks Christmas this year is less optimistic.
I think this year's festive season is very hopeless, as reflected by the state of the economy. There's a radical hike of prices, and the total collapse of the social and the economic fabric has a huge consequence on the way citizens are going to celebrate.
Thokozani Kupe is vice president of the opposition movement for democratic change. She says this Christmas will be a terrible one for Zimbabweans.
The truth of the matter is that there won't be any difference. Money is not available in banks. People don't have money. And as we heard, that Even the president said bonuses are going to be paid, but next year it is one and the same old story. It's just like any other day. For me, I'm not seeing any difference at all, even with this new dispensation.
However, Eddie Cross, an MDC member of parliament representing Bulawayo South, is more upbeat.
I think Zimbabweans are starting to feel that there's movement. And I think they're very cautious, but I think so far, I think the early indications are that 2018 is going to be much better. I think that most Zimbabweans will feel a little bit more confident about the coming year.
Kindness Paraza, a member of the ruling ZANU-PF and the member of parliament for Makonde, he thinks this festive season is looking bright.
This is going to be the best Christmas for Zimbabweans. You know why? We're not going to experience any roadblocks. That's like what we've been experiencing in the past years. And also, I think, as the president said, the prices are going, basic commodities are going to go down. And not only that, I'm sure the banks are going to be able to dispense some money. And also, you are aware that all the civil servants are going to be paid. This is the best Christmas they've ever had in about 17 or so years.
Many Zimbabweans are ending the year with the cautious hope that new government will bring the gifts it's promised: economic growth and jobs. For VOA, this is Kudzai Zinawashe from Harare.
Vateereri veStudio 7 tinoda kukuzivisai kuti tava nezvimwe zvirongwa zvakatanga zvatichange tichikupakurirai kubva na 6 a.m. kuseni kwega kwega na 2 p.m. masikati ega ega nechirongwa chenyu chamagaro ziva cha 7 p.m. mazuva ose. Munokwanisa kutibata pa 909 medium wave frequency, pa 4930 shortwave, 15580 shortwave, ne 6080 shortwave mazuva ose. Musakangana kuti tichangezve tichitepfenyura pa Facebook page yedu ye VOA Shona. Kana musati mafarira Facebook page yedu, ibvai maenda ikoko motsvaga pakanzi like mubva matifarira. Tokuyeuchidzai zvakare zvirongwa izvi zvinenge zvichiitwa na 6 a.m., 2 p.m. na 7 p.m. manheru ega ega. Musakanganwe.
A large number of Zimbabweans are returning home for Christmas, and grocery stores have hiked up the price of basic necessities to increase their profit margins. These price increases affect those who live in Zimbabwe year-round than those who are visiting. I spoke with Ntokozo Nyoni, the regional chairman for the Consumer Council of Zimbabwe, about the price increase.
First, I think I would like to applaud the government, considering that in the last 3-4 days, the prices of bread had actually gone up. But the Minister of Industry and Commerce intervened quickly, and it went back to 90 cents. So I would like to applaud the government for that. Other than that, you find that some prices of arola milk, sugar, chilies, fresh milk, and other stuff, It went up with between 1 cent, 2 cents, 3 cents. It's the norm. When it's Christmas time, these retailers, they increase prices willy-nilly.
Do you think that has something to do with the fact that a lot of people from the diaspora come back for around Christmas time?
It could be that, because they take advantage of the situation. They know that usually Christmas time, consumers, they don't look at the price that much. And another thing, I think, is the plastic money. Most of the consumers, they are not used to this, to using the plastic money. They are used to cash. Mm-hmm. So you find that even when they get to a supermarket, they don't look at the price like they used to do, because like when you're carrying cash,
mm-hmm.
you'll be conscious with the money that you are carrying. But now when you are using plastic money, when you are swiping, you just fill up the troll, and then you just swipe there, and you don't even see how much it costed.
Are people struggling more so around Christmas time to get the basic necessities they need because of the price hikes?
Yes, it does affect the consumers in a way, because not everyone has those plastic money. There are some people who are from rural areas who do not have that money, so it really affects them.
And has there been any word from the government in regards to trying to cap the price hikes?
Yes, I'm happy because the president actually slammed these price hikes, especially it was 2 days back, chronically, when the Mr. Mnangagwa was actually condemning these unscrupulous business people.
There's been reports that certain stores are only accepting U.S. dollars. Do you know anything about that?
Yes, very true. It's actually happening. People are doing what they want. I think the president, the new president, has to work on that. Because there are people charging prices in U.S. dollar,
mm-hmm.
Prices in bond, and prices of swiping.
Mm-hmm.
You find that the prices of swiping and bond, it's very expensive.
That was Ntokozo Nyoni, the regional chairman for the Consumer Council of Zimbabwe. He was speaking to me by phone from Harare.
With the holidays quickly approaching, many Zimbabweans worried about all the increase in price for basic commodities. The Industry, Commerce and Enterprise Development Ministry has been holding marathon meetings with various producers to tap down increase, but on social media, it is anger that is rising.
Raul Castro says, price increases don't just happen for no reason across the board. It's a reflection of the poor state of the economy.
Progress Mateveke says, it's an economy war. It'll only take smart minds to bring an end to this panic and instability. United we stand.
Alicia Talengwa says, worrisome. We'll miss out on some essentials during this holiday.
Murowira says, given the prevailing microeconomic condition in Zimbabwe, it's even a shame to call it a festive season. No festivities to talk about. Prices are steep. Asians want cash in U.S. dollars. We are in a serious predicament.
Cooper says, but they buy cattle for cheap from farmers. People should just form groups and buy directly from the small farmer and use butchers to cut the meat.
Kudzai Mutasa says, do Zimbabweans rely on bread only? Come on, government. What about all basic commodities? Stop abusing the U.S. dollar.
You're listening to Zimbabwe Today, live from Voice of America Studio 22. I'm Kutsunai Mutatwa in Washington, D.C.
At 47 past the hour, we continue with news about Zimbabwe's momentous political change.
After months of heated debate, Ugandan legislators have passed a constitutional amendment that could allow President Yoweri Museveni to extend his time in office. However, critics of the change managed to get approval for term limits for the presidency.
5 months of tense consultations, Wednesday night's vote ends the shouting, fights, claims of bribery, arrests, and parliamentary suspensions over the bill. In the final count, 315 legislators voted for the constitutional amendment, 62 voted against, and 2 legislators abstained. The Constitutional Amendment Act 2017 will allow anyone above the age of 75 to run for the presidency. President Yoweri Museveni, who is 73, can now run in the 2021 election. He has been in power since 1986. Parliament, however, reinstated a term limit. Presidents can now serve just 2 5-year terms. If Museveni wants to extend his tenure to 7 years in 2021, a referendum must be called. Other amendments will extend the term of parliament from 5 to 7 years, so the current parliament will expire in 2023. Rafael Magezi moved the motion calling for the vote. While he opposed the term limits, he saw the final vote as an acceptable compromise.
Oh my God, I've never felt any better. I'm very happy. Sometimes you have to agree to a win-win, you have to give and take. Certainly I was not in favor because it would run against the philosophy of our amendment. But I think it came out strongly from the opposition. that we have removed too much, so to bring back the term limits, I think it's okay.
But critics who say the changes could allow Museveni to become the president for life are not happy. Winnie Kiza is the leader of the opposition in parliament. She praised members of the opposition and some ruling party legislators who voted against the bill.
I have no regret for leading the team that I led. Much as they are shouting, they are happy, but they should know that the Ugandans are in misery, the Ugandans are in pain. We have been a disservice to the 10th parliament, to the people of Uganda. We have given them a rope on which to hang them. I want to say, oh Uganda, may God uphold you.
The Constitution Amendment Act now needs President Museveni's signature for it to become law. Halima Afmani for VOA News, Kampala.
The United Nations Food Agency says a quarter of the population in Iraq, Libya, Sudan, Syria, and Yemen are undernourished. The Food and Agriculture Organization today said food insecurity is increasing in North Africa and the Middle East, largely because of conflicts. Yemen is hardest hit. The FAO says almost 25% of Yemen's face severe food shortage after 2 years of civil war. Sectarian violence, and regional conflict have spread in the region since the Arab Spring uprising in 2011 ousted some national leaders.
Njani matabezulu linjani zulu kandaba sifisa ukulibikela ukuthi silethulela indaba ezimqotho ngeZimbabwe suku zonke ngo 6 AM, 2 PM, lango 7 PM eZimbabwe. Lisibamba kumakakasi ati 909 meter wave 4930 15580 laku 6080 shortwave frequencies. Lilakho njalo ukusithola ebulenjini bokuzilibazisa ku Facebook ukhasi lethule VOA Ndebele. Land of sunshine,
land of the charity Doctors Without Borders reports preventable long-forgotten diseases are re-emerging in Yemen due to the catastrophic war that has been going on since March 2015. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from Geneva.
Diphtheria has been eradicated in most parts of the world. The last outbreak of this highly infectious but preventable respiratory disease occurred in 1982 in Yemen. But this disease has made a deadly comeback after 2.5 years of catastrophic war and the blockade of humanitarian and commercial goods imposed by Saudi Arabia. Marc Ponsin is emergency coordinator for Doctors Without Borders in Yemen. He says an outbreak of diphtheria emerged in early October.
Today we have a bit more than 300 cases of diphtheria, 35 deaths. So it's a mortality rate of above 10%. What is really worrying with diphtheria is the mortality rate in the under 5. So we have 25%. One out of four children dying of diphtheria in Yemen.
Unfortunately, he says the vaccines needed to prevent diphtheria and the antibiotics to treat the infection are both in short supply. Yemen is suffering the worst cholera epidemic in history. The International Committee of the Red Cross reports cholera cases in Yemen have now reached the 1 millionth mark. Ponsin says he believes this official figure is largely exaggerated.
If you look at the mortality rate, for instance, of cholera, it has decreased a lot in the last three months. That shows that probably most of the cases today that are reported are diarrhea, simple diarrhea, not cholera.
However, he warns this is no time for complacency. While reported cases have gone down to 15,000 a week from a high of 50,000 at the end of June, he says cholera remains a serious problem. Ponsin says there are worrying predictions from experts who say they expect a new wave of cholera to emerge next year during Yemen's rainy season in March and April. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
The UN Special Envoy for Yemen expressed deep concern today about an escalation of violence in the country. Ismail Oud Sheikh Ahmed also welcomed a pledge by a Saudi-led coalition to allow access to humanitarian aid at a key port. He also condemned Tuesday's Houthi rebel ballistic missile attack on Saudi Arabia, saying it was an escalation that hinders peace efforts in Yemen. The coalition said yesterday that despite the new missile attack, the Houthi-controlled Hodeidah port will remain open for 30 days in order to allow for shipments of food and other relief materials. Humanitarian organizations have repeatedly called attention to the effects of the conflict on civilians in Yemen, where the United Nations says 3 million people have been forced from their homes. Today, the International Red Cross said there are 1 million suspected cases of cholera in Yemen, and that more than 80% of Yemenis lack food, fuel, clean water, and access to health care.
The International Monetary Fund says the Republic of Congo must do more to improve governance and make its debt load more sustainable. This before the lender will approve a financial support package. After wrapping up a week of talks with Congo officials, IMF mission leader Abdul Aziz Wane today said he is encouraged by the government's 2018 budget. He said it would lead to fiscal sustainability while increasing support for vulnerable groups such as women. Wane's statement took note of how low oil prices have hit Congo. That problem has been compounded by unsustainable debt levels and weak governance overall. The country has seen a recession this year, with the economy contracting more than 9%. He urged the Brazzaville government to create an independent anti-corruption body and take measures such as requiring senior government officials to declare their assets. The Republic of Congo, like many other oil-rich nations in Africa, has struggled over the past several years after oil prices fell more than 50%. That was a song by Freeman. That is it for us this evening on VOA Zimbabwe Today. I'm Chidonjere.
And I'm Kutumai Mutatwa. We will be back again tomorrow at 9:30 p.m. Zimbabwe time for the latest news and analysis in English. VOA Shana and Zabele broadcast can be heard at 7 a.m., 2 p.m., and 7 p.m. Zimbabwe time.
Stay with us around the clock on Facebook at Studio 7, VOA Ndebele and VOA Shona, as well as our VOA website, www.studio7news.com.
Come on, we're gonna make it. Sonjo. Sonjo.